So I think I might have mentioned at least once or twice that we have a new driver in our house. Our second child is going to be 16 in March, and so we're working on teaching her how to drive. And I find that in the car with her, I'm constantly saying things and pointing out things and giving instruction, and I've realized that there's a theme to the things that I'm saying. I say things like this. Listen, when you're driving, watch. Don't just look at the end of the nose of the car. Look a little further down the road as you're driving, because that'll keep you from doing this kind of thing and always adjusting your steering. I say pay attention to the cars that are far ahead of you. You should be watching for brake lights. You should be watching for slowdowns and swerves. Pay attention to what is ahead of you. When we come to an intersection, I say you need to look all around you and make sure that no one's trying to cross when they're not supposed to. I say to her, watch your speed. Look at the speedometer and pay attention to your speed. And I say, do not be distracted. When you're a driver, you need to be careful that you are not sleepy, that you are never, ever, 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 ever on your cell phone. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's your first one. I've been here since July. Amen. But I'm not counting. Amen. We do not ever be on our phones. We keep the music down. And if there's ever going to be friends in your car, they need to be calm and collected, so that you are paying attention and never distracted. I realize the theme of my driving instruction is focus. It is so important to keep your eyes on the road and your hands upon the wheel. Does anyone recognize those lyrics? Keep your eyes on the road and your hands upon the wheel. Okay, there's like five of us that know that was a Doors song. That'll be the last time I quote Jim Morrison in a service. Also, but it is so important to keep focused when we are driving, and it's not just for new drivers, it's all of us. We have to keep our focus no matter how long we've been driving. I drove big daughter, older daughter, back to college a week ago, and when I was driving down to St. Olaf on 35, it was raining. And as I was going along, I was paying attention, but then all of a sudden this huge deluge came. The rain came down in sheets, and I was gripping the steering wheel tightly. The windshield wipers were at their fastest possible thing, and I had to slow down, and I just stared out the front trying to see the road. Because the rain was so powerful. Having to stay focused is something that new drivers need to learn, but it's something we can never stop doing. You might say it's a work in progress. Now, is anyone sick of that phrase yet? Work in progress. We're on week 6 of a 7-week series. That means next week will be our last week. It doesn't mean it won't come up again. But if you haven't made a tile yet, I believe we have 56 out there on our wall. We should easily have twice that many. There is still time to go look and see the work in progress that's in the hallway, to add whatever work that you want to add to that. You could say it's a work in progress. Week after week, we have talked about this as we've journeyed through the book of Philippians. So here's a quick review. The first week, we talked about Paul saying that God begins something in us and carries it to completion. That's how we came up with this phrase, work in progress. Week 2, we talked about humility being a work in progress, that God is working on us to have an attitude like Jesus where we put others first. Week 3 was about our point of view, that God is working on us so that we might see things the way that God sees them. Then we talked about grumbling being a work in progress, not that we were working to grumble more, but that we were working to grumble less. Do everything without complaining and arguing, writes Paul in Philippians. Last week, we talked about credentials and talked about how the things of this world and the things that make us feel powerful or like we're worthy are not the things that are important, but rather that we are qualified for salvation, that what makes us who we are is all the things that Jesus has done. And today, the work in progress is focus. Today, we focus on focusing. So we're in chapter 3 of Philippians, starting with verse 12, and Paul says this, "Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." He's talking about a work in progress. These things that I've been talking about, he said, I don't have it all together. In this last section, last week, he talked about how he had everything going for him and all these worldly or outwardly kind of things. And he said, now I consider them rubbish. They're nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. And what he wants more than anything is to know Jesus more. And that's what he's dreaming of for the church. That they would know Christ more. And he says, but I'm not finished. I haven't got to the completion. I don't know all that there is to know. I don't love in a way that is the full or complete kind of way. God is still working on Paul, just as he's working on the believers in Philippi, and he's still working on believers in Bloomington. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So this is the NIV. This is the New International Version, which is what we're mostly using here on a Sunday morning. But I want to grab the Message paraphrase of the New Testament, which was done by pastor and theologian Eugene Peterson, and show you how he translated this same little section. He writes this. I'm not saying that I have all this together. Oh, is it up there? Oh. Well, I'm just going to read it to you, and you have to believe me. Oh, here we go. Nope, now can you skip way ahead because we're on the other. We read that part. We read it. Keep your eyes on. There we go. Okay. Not that I've. Nope. A little bit further. Nope. Nope. Try one more. Okay, go back. I don't know what happened. This is my problem when I send things. Okay, you're just going to have to trust me. This is what it says in the Message. And listen, just listen. You'll see why I picked the word focus. I'm not saying, he says, that I have all this together. I'm not saying that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wonderfully reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. Paul is urging them and himself and us to keep focused on what he calls the goal, or what he calls the prize in the New International Version. And so the question of the hour is, what is this goal? What is this thing that he says I need to keep focused on so that I keep moving forward? And I think, given what he was talking about last week, I think the goal is to know Christ more. And I think that means to grow deeper in faith, to grow more in love with Jesus, to be being transformed into the likeness of Christ, to attaining to salvation that's been promised, to not giving up. Twice he says, I press on. He says, what I want to see happen is that we all stay in faith without wavering, that we're continuing to stand strong, to stay the course, to finish the race, to not turning back. Paul says, I don't want to turn back to my old habits. I don't want to go back to my old way of thinking. I don't want to trust in worldly credentials or qualifications or the flesh. I want to keep on keeping on. So remember, he's writing at a time when people of faith are in literal physical danger. They have things that they could really lose because they follow Jesus. They are at the risk of losing their livelihood. Their ability to have a job or to earn a living could be lost because they say they follow Christ. Some will lose their family and their friends because they say yes to the gospel. Some will be put in prison, which is where Paul is as he's writing this letter. He is in prison because of Jesus. And some will lose their lives because they follow Christ. There are continuing threats to their lives because of their faith in Jesus. And the goal is to continue to keep the faith and to realize the promises that Jesus had given to them. And in order to do that, they need to focus. In order to stay in this thing for the long haul, we need to focus on what we've been taught about Jesus, what we've experienced in knowing Christ. He uses this kind of picture language of what it means to know Christ and to stay in a race. There's all these metaphors that happen here. But let me give you a literal picture of why it's important to keep focused on Jesus. It's from Matthew 14. So Matthew 14, Jesus and his disciples are doing the thing they always do. They go from place to place, and Jesus preaches and invites people into relationship with him. And on one day, Jesus takes his disciples, puts them in a boat, and sends them out to sea, and he goes off by himself for a little breather. Can you blame Jesus? people at him all the time, asking him questions, wondering things. And Jesus says, you know what, you guys? Hop in the boat. Go off. I'll find you later. So Jesus goes off to pray. The disciples are out on the sea. And during the night, it says, the boat was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. The squall has come up, and there's a lot of wind and waves, and they're out there. And then it says in Matthew, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. I love how Matthew just says it like it's no big deal. There's no other qualifications about it. He just was there walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him, they were terrified. Why were they afraid? Anybody know? Thought maybe he drowned? Maybe he drowned? They don't know it's Jesus. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. This is nothing they have ever seen before. The wind is blowing. The waves are splashing. There is something, someone coming at them, and that frightens them. But Jesus said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And then Peter jumps in, well, literally, in a second. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Here's Peter. He's so brave and so impulsive. Well, Jesus, if you can do it, I can too. And as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he can. As long as he watched Jesus, he did the same thing Jesus did. He walked on top of those waves. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he could stay afloat. He was safe. He was moving forward, and there was no stopping him. But as soon as he loses his focus, as soon as Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and looks around, he realizes and remembers, boy, there are a lot of waves here. There's a lot of wind here. I know that there's something called gravity. This isn't the way this is supposed to work. And without watching Jesus, he begins to sink. In the same way, when we lose our focus on Jesus, we start to sink. Focusing on Jesus is the work of faith. So Paul says, you got to focus on this goal. You got to focus on Jesus. Focus on moving ahead toward the goal that we've been invited to. And then he says this. Okay, now I think we're on verse 15. I think we have it. All of this, then, he said, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Join together in following my example, sisters and brothers, and just as you have made us a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Paul says, the things that I'm saying, this is the mature view of this, and those who are growing in Christ will understand what I'm talking about. And then this is my favorite verse that he says. He says, if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Try quoting that to someone that you live with today. If on some point we disagree, if you don't think like I do, God will make that clear to you. Isn't that fantastic? And you can say, I'm just quoting the Bible. I don't know, that one cracks me up. Okay, Paul can say it, maybe we can't. I'm not going to try it. Paul's saying to them, basically, I follow my example. I don't have it all figured out, but I am striving to keep my eyes on the goal. Join me. Focus on the goal. The next thing I think he says is focus on spiritual things. Verse 18, he says, for as I have often told you before, and I tell you again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is in their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Paul says he feels sorrow for those he calls the enemies of the cross. He says, those who are focused on earthly things. I think he's thinking back to what he said in just a little bit back in this chapter about this kind of credentialing, things that matter in the world. And he's already described how those things are not important, that only knowing Christ matters. So he's saying to them, you need to look up, not down, and to keep your eyes on God, to keep your eyes on the road, to keep your eyes on spiritual things, not all the things that are around you. And to be aware of the temptation to look around and to put your trust in worldly things put your faith in Jesus and your trust in Jesus, not in your power or your status or your money or your smarts or your insurance policy. Put your eyes on Jesus. Here's two thoughts of this from the Old Testament. In Genesis 19, there's a horrible story about how there's a guy named Lot, and Lot and his family are told to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember this story? And they're told, he says, take your daughters and your wife and flee this place and do not look back. And they run for their lives to get out of there because the city's going to be destroyed. And in the story, it says that Lot's wife turned back. She looked back and she lost her life. Looking back or focusing on the past or looking on whatever things you think can save you can cause you to miss out on the path that is ahead. Can cause pain and accidents and trouble for the people. And then in the books of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, the people are wandering in the wilderness waiting to get to the promised land, and God gives them two things to remind them that he's there. During the day, they have this cloud that they follow, and during the evening, it's a pillar of fire. And I think that Yahweh gives that to them so they know where to keep their view and their vision. That they can look and say, the presence of God is with us, and as long as I can see that cloud, and as long as I can see that fire, that and I can keep my focus on God, then when we look around at the world around us, we'll just have to keep looking back. Because the world around them was scary and large and literally out to get them. And God gives them these beautiful signs of his presence with them, and it's still hard to focus on spiritual things. Focus on the goal, focus on spiritual things, and focus on home. Verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. If you're going to focus on spiritual things and not temporal, physical, earthly life, it's good to be reminded that this is not our home. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. Someone else I read said that we are citizens of the commonwealth of Christ. It means that our home, where we belong, our identity are all in Jesus. And that all of this is just temporary. And focusing on home makes it possible to keep going when we feel like we don't fit in. When we feel like the world doesn't make sense, when all of the news seems bad, we can look to Jesus. We can look to our home, to a far distant future that is waiting for us beyond this world. Paul says, you got to keep pressing on. Keep focused on the goal. Keep focused on spiritual things. Keep focused on your true home to keep the faith and be found faithful. That is what we're working toward. That is the work that is in progress. Last story, and this one has hobbits because all the good stories have hobbits. In the first book, does everybody know what a hobbit is? In the first book of the Lord of the Rings trilogy by J.R.R. Tolkien, the book is called The Fellowship of the Ring, we find four hobbit friends, Frodo, Sam, Merry, and Pippin, and they are at the beginning of what is going to be a really long journey. Actually, the first time I read the series, when I read The Fellowship of the Ring, I didn't know it was a trilogy. And I was getting toward the end of the book, and I kept thinking, how are they going to get to their destination in these last pages? And then I realized it was going to take two more books to get there. At any rate, the hobbits have no idea. This is just the beginning. But they have left their home really for the first time in their lives. They've stepped out beyond what they have always known, and they have already encountered dangers in the world that they could not have imagined. So along their way, they find all of a sudden a new friend, this weird character named Tom Bombadil, and Tom brings them into his home, feeds them a good meal. They spend the night and have peaceful rest, and in the morning, Tom sends them on their way, and they venture back through the forest. And after a while of walking, they come to this open glade. There's a huge stone in the middle, and they sit down to have their lunch, because hobbits love to eat. So they sit down with their backs to the stone, and they sit there with the sun shining, and they fill their bellies and unwittingly fall asleep. And a few hours later, they wake up to realize that the sun is starting to set in the west, and a fog that Tolkien calls a thick, cold, and white fog was moving in. And they've gone from a sunny lunch and a peaceful nap to experiencing something terrifying. And Tolkien writes it like this: "Even as they looked out in dismay toward the setting sun, it sank before their eyes into a white sea, and a cold gray shadow sprang up in the east behind. The fog rolled up to the walls and rose above them. And as it mounted, it bent over their heads until it became a roof. They were shut in a hall of mist whose central pillar was a standing stone. They felt as if it was a trap closing about them. But they did not quite lose heart. They still remembered the hopeful view that they had of the line of the road ahead, and they still knew in which direction it lay. So then the hobbits quickly packed up their things and got back on the road. But did you hear that? Although they were in this frightening place, although they could hardly see, they did not quite lose heart. They kept focused on what they remembered. They remembered this hopeful view, and they knew that the road was ahead, and they kept on moving forward." That language about losing heart comes right out of 2 Corinthians, and Connor read it a little bit ago. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul is writing to Christians in this place called Corinth who are in danger of losing their focus. And he, as it was read earlier, Paul makes this list of things that they're up against. He said, "We're hard pressed, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, and we're struck down. But he says, "But we're not at the end of hope." And twice he says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." We do not lose heart. And when the Corinthians keep their focus on the one, when the Philippians focus their gaze, when we focus on the goal, when we focus on spiritual and not worldly things, when we focus on our true home, we can press on and stay the course, keep moving forward, and not lose heart. I realized late in the day yesterday that maybe this was a little too complicated. I made like three things out of what is really just one thing. So I'm like, press on to the goal, or focus on the goals, focus on the spiritual, focus on home. Really, all that we need to do is just say, focus on Jesus. In Hebrews, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And when we do that, we're able to keep the faith and receive all that God has for us. So we keep our eyes on Jesus. And we focus on Jesus when it's dark. And we keep our eyes on Jesus when our vision is blurred. We focus on Jesus when we're confused or tempted or afraid. We fix our eyes on Jesus when we're disappointed and defeated, when we realize the lack in ourselves or the lack in the world. We focus on Jesus when you don't get the job, when you don't make the team, when you fail the test. We focus on Jesus when the treatment doesn't work, when the diagnosis is bad. Focus on Jesus when they don't love you back, when the dream doesn't come true, when you have to move away or someone you love moves away. We focus on Jesus. And I'm sorry, my friends, but it's one of those things that's easy to say and hard to do. It's easy to say and to truly believe, I just need to fix my eyes on Jesus, but it is much harder to live. And that's why it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress, something that God has begun in us and God is continuing to work on, and God is giving us the Holy Spirit in order to be able to do. Until the day that we see Jesus face to face and we don't even want to look anywhere else. Until that day when we see Jesus clearly and everything else is just scenery, God is at work in us to keep our eyes where they belong. And we are reminded of those things as we read through the scripture. Do a little scripture search of how many times it talks about, I keep my eyes on the Lord, or fix your eyes on Jesus, or look to where God has promised a hope and a future. We can be reminded by the songs that we sing, like open the eyes of my heart, or fix my eyes, or turn your eyes upon Jesus or show me the way. How many of you guys sing Blind Man Stood by the Root? Okay, there are some Christian songs that are better, and then there's others. My favorite at Covenant Pines as a kid, have you seen Jesus, my Lord? Can you sing it with me? He's here in plain... Nobody else knows the song? So he's here in plain view. Welcome to the 70s. This is how we knew Jesus. I can see clearly now. The rain has gone. Oh, there we got you. That's not even a Christian song. But these are the things that God puts in our path, reminds us in the scripture, reminds us in the things that we sing, and then we can be reminded by and with others. When you can't see Jesus, when it is too cloudy, when it is too dark, when it is too hard, then find somebody else who will look for you and say, I can still see him. I can still do this. Someone that will help us remember to keep focus, to keep the faith. Someone that will say, you know what, if you can't see Jesus, I'll look for you. And maybe you will do that for me when the time comes too. It's a work in progress, being focused on Christ, so that we do not sink, so that we do not get overwhelmed by the waves, so that we know that the place that we belong really is there with Jesus forever, and that all of this will someday pass. But in the meantime, let us fix our eyes on the One. Let us join Paul in saying, not that I've already obtained all this. By no means do I count myself an expert at all, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running and not turning back, so let's keep focused on that goal. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you gave us eyes, both the ones that we see with the world that sometimes work and sometimes do not, but you gave us eyes in our souls. You gave us a way and a word and a way of thinking about you that we might continue to look to you. We know that we are works in progress, that sometimes we're so good at focusing on you and other times we are looking everywhere else. And so we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit to draw us back when we need it. Lord, clear our vision. Make us see you and let everything else just become the scenery around us. Thank you for the promise that you are with us and that you are calling us forward to something far better than we could ever hope, imagine, ask, or dream for. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.